It's HPR, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Couple of big-name classic rock cats who are in town performing separately and together, starting tonight at Hawaiian Brian's in Honolulu, then moving to the Mac tomorrow, Kauai Beach Resort on Friday, and the Honoka'a People's Theater on Saturday. Rick Derringer Band, the Edgar Winter Group. Yesterday we had Rick on the show, and today Edgar Winter, author of Frankenstein and a true rock legend. Hey, Edgar.
Are you ready to rock and roll?
Appreciate you taking some time to talk to us.
Well, you are more than welcome. Been so long. I think the last time I was there was maybe the late 80s with Leon Russell.
Yeah, that's right. Steve the Mystery Emailer emailed me that you and Leon Russell did three consecutive shows at three venues in Honolulu back in November 1988.
Yeah, I think I might have been there with my brother Johnny, but I don't remember.
Sort of on that note, this tour, at least the way it's being billed by the promoter, is called A Tribute to Johnny Winter, your legendary brother.
Really? I wasn't aware of that. I had no idea.
That's at the tour post. I had a feeling that you did not know that.
Yeah, that's, first of all, a beautiful thing. It's been now 4 years almost since Johnny passed away, and he may have departed this physical plane, but his presence, his music, his spirit will live on in my heart forever. And every time I walk on a stage, I think of Johnny. We grew up playing together as kids. We had almost a telepathic sort of communication, I think, because of that, learning to play together, learning a lot of the same licks, we just would know where the other was headed. At the end of the set, I usually do a few Johnny songs. If Rick weren't on the show, I'd probably do Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, since he's on there and he wrote the song. He'll be doing that one, but I might do some of the old Johnny songs, but kind of wish somebody had clued me in on that.
Right.
And I'm glad you're doing it now.
At least I'm the one telling
you. Yeah.
You said something cool in there about having a sort of telepathic-like connection with Johnny, who's your older brother, but not that many years older. Take us back to some early musical memories that you share, which I know at some point involves the ukulele.
Absolutely. And I always like to get interesting questions. What's the first time I remember music? My dad played guitar and banjo, alto sax in a swing band in his youth. He sang in the choir. He had a barbershop quartet that would come over to the house and rehearse. And my mother played beautiful classical piano, not professionally. I must have been maybe three or so. I know I couldn't talk, but I remember being nestled in my mother's lap and just hearing this beautiful ethereal music flowing over me, being able to peek up between her arms, see her hands moving in this beautiful undulating kind of way. And I remember forming the concept, oh, wow, those hands are making that music. I'll bet that's partly why I have this deep, spiritual, loving kind of feeling about music. That being the first memory that I could dredge up. When I was four, my dad started showing Johnny how to play the ukulele, and then I picked it up when I was about six. But we started playing ukuleles as kids and singing Everly Brothers songs, you know, like, "Wake up, little Susie," you know, and then Johnny graduated to the guitar, and it became apparent he was going to be the guitar player. So I just said, well, I'll play everything else. Another interesting thing is everybody in our family was musical. Granddad played fiddle. Great-grandfather played trumpet. You know, we started putting together bands with our friends around the neighborhood. And I said, what? Your daddy didn't show you no chords? We thought it was just like a family household activity. And say, oh, not everybody can do this. This is like a special thing. Anyway, I played bass for a while, and I switched to drums. Then piano, I think, was the next thing. In my teens, I discovered my dad's old alto sax up in the attic. Never heard him play before, and he took it out. And he said, oh, how'd you get this? And then that's when I started to get really interested in jazz. And then there was sort of a brief parting of the ways for me and Johnny. He said, well, I don't want no sax in the band, and you're playing all that jazz stuff. And I said, well, I'll get my own band then. So we did separate bands. with sax and piano, so I kind of got into playing both of those, which is kind of how I've ended up, is playing a variety, and I play a little drums, do all the timbali parts, so there you have it.
What a great explanation for so many unique things about you. I guess when I was thinking about the diversity of the styles of music, which you were just talking about, an example of an artist touching on so many different styles and rolling them into one thing is perhaps the song maybe you're best known for, Frankenstein.
Well, I'll tell you the story of Frankenstein. I wrote the riff years before the song came into existence. When Johnny first became famous, he invited me to New York, and I met his manager, Steve, who introduced me to Clive Davis, who was the president of CBS at the time. And as they say, the rest is history. But Johnny invited me to play with his band. No one even knew that he had a brother at this time. So he'd do the first part of the set with his blues trio and say, "Now I'm going to bring on my little brother Edgar." I'd walk down there. "Oh, wow, there's two of them." And I had wrote that riff, that dun, 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 dun. I said, "That's a cool bluesy kind of walk-on." And I played Hammond B3. And I did an alto sax solo. And we had two sets of drums on stage, and I did a dual drum solo with Johnny's drummer. And we used to call it the double drum song, just sort of an instrumental showcase. And we played the song all over the world, promptly forgot all about it for years. Then I just happened to be walking through the music store one day, Manny's Music in New York City, and I saw these new keyboards, the Moog, but this one called the ARP 2600 had a separate keyboard. Looks like you could just put a strap on that thing and play it like a guitar, which I proceeded to do. People just went wild. So we were looking for a song to feature the synthesizer. And I thought, well, I'll bet that old double drum song would sound really cool. So we put it in the set, and man, it was killer. We were closing the show with it. And the other thing about the synthesizer that I love, as I would come up with a new sound, it would suggest a musical section. The song kept getting longer and got to be about half an hour. We never thought about recording it.
Something you then wanted to record for 1972's They Only Come Out at Night, with Rick Derringer himself producing. And it still didn't have its famous name yet, huh?
We were calling it the instrumental then. I figured I'll just use timbales because way too much trouble to have two complete sets of drums. And Rick Derringer suggested maybe we could edit that down into something usable. And I said, well, I don't know, that's a crazy idea, but I love crazy ideas. Maybe we could.
Big 2-inch, like Ampex 456.
Yeah, it was lying all over the control room, draped over the backs of chairs and on the console and on the couch. And we're trying to figure out how to put it all back together. And Chuck Ruff, the drummer, mumbled the immortal words, "Wow, man, it's like Frankenstein." The analogy of an arm here and a leg there and pasting the thing back together. As soon as I heard it, I said, "Wow, Frankenstein." It even kind of sounds like it has that ponderous kind of lumbering.
Right.
Dun, 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 dun. Like I can almost see Frankenstein. So Frankenstein, the monster was born. There's a story for you.
Well, that's a great introduction. We'll play it now, and I'll leave you with this. When you walk out on stage tonight, Edgar, that was the last place in Honolulu your brother played. Did an interview with me on video just before the show. I'll never forget it. So you will be following your brother Johnny's footsteps this evening.
That's great to know. Thank you for making me aware of that. I'd like to just thank everybody that has followed my career as well as that of my brother Johnny's throughout all of these years. So get ready to rock and roll!
I hope you had fun talking today. I really, really enjoyed talking to you, Edgar. It's meant a lot.
Oh, you're most welcome. I had a great time talking to you. We'll see you there.
Thank you, brother.
Keep on rocking! Aloha, this is Edgar Winter, and we could not be in a better place. We are with our good friend, Dave Lawrence. Aloha, Dave.